Good morning, Boker Tov. May it be a good day for Klal Yisrael, a day filled with Besoros Tovos, Yeshuos, Vinechamos. Big thank you to our Parsha series sponsors, Becky and Avikatz and family, who sponsored in memory of David Grossman. Our learning is Leila Nishmas, Becky's father, David Menachem Manush. This morning's shiur is sponsored by Sharon Wenger and Jonathan Wenger, in loving memory of the dear husband and father, Bruce Wenger, Dov Ari Ben Yisrael, on his upcoming 10th Yurtzeit, Neshama Shev and Aliyah, and by the Ellis family, in loving memory of Zisha Ben Shlomo Lev, Stephen Ellis on his first Yurtzeit, his neshama should have an aliyah as well. As always, a big thank you to all of our sponsors. We have the privilege of reading two parshios this Shabbos, and therefore learning two parshios today. If you like one parsha, you're going to love two. Vayakel Pekudei, page 516. We're going to try to hit on both, try to make our way through some Divrei Torah on both Vayakel and Pekudei. Of course, all of our learning, we're very much thinking of our brothers and sisters in Israel, should be safe and secure and strong. Please, God, a sweeping defeat of our enemies and restore a sense of safety to Israel and beyond. Vayaka Moshe is called Das Bnei Yisrael Vayomar Aleihem. Moshe assembles, he gathers the entire assembly, the children of Israel, and he tells them, Ela Advar Masher Tziva Hashem La'asos Osam. These are the things that Hashem commanded. This is what you must do. And then he proceeds, first Shabbos, Shesh Hashem Enti Asa Malacha, 6 days do work. Vayomar Shviya Lachem Kodesh Shabbat Shabbason La'ashem. Kolosam Bo Malacha, most you must. That a person who does a person who does malacha violates Shabbos, there is a death penalty. It's incredibly severe. And only then do we go on. Vayomer Moshe kol das bnei Yisrael zeh hadavar shekuchu meitchem truma, accept donations and pledges, and we're going to build a mishkan. Now, I must tell you, every year we get to Vayaka Pekudei, and I wonder, what am I going to say? What is there to say? We've seen this before. Truma Tetzaveh, Vayaka Pekudei are almost verbatim the direct repetition of Truma Tetzaveh. Of course, Kisisa is in between, the sin of the golden calf, which is what precipitated the gift of the Mishkan to begin with, but we're repeating it all. And yet, and there's a good reason I feel that and fear that. Because if you look at Rashi, he has so little to say. If you do Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum with Rashi, if you review the Parsha, if you're Mar Besedra with Rashi, these are the easiest Parshios. Because Rashi said, check out what I said in Truma Tetzaveh. I'm good. It's basically the same measurements, same materials, same Mishkan, same clothing of the Kohanim. So just check my commentary there. Not much new to add. He does have new, but not much new to add. So you always worry, what are we going to add? And yet, here it is. I'm sure we're going to have a lot I don't get to today. Because they're always the beauty of Torah. You learn it. Hafochva v'hafochva b'kulaba. When you learn it, when you dig deep into it, when you investigate it, there's such depth, profundity, there's so much, and it's always relevant to today. There's always a message to today. So Vayaka, let's start with an Eish Tamid. Let's start with a message from Rav Yisrael Meir Druk Shlita and his Eish Tamid. Mavur b'psukim kishtei mitzvos halalu ne'emru b'hakel. This word Vayakel, Vayakel means to gather, an assembly, a group. Moshe was told to deliver, to transmit these instructions, both about the Mishkan and about Shabbos, Dafka, specifically to the Jewish people, not individually. Don't send out a broadcast list or WhatsApp or a mass email. Gather everyone together. Put them in a room. Vayakel. Only when they are together. Now tell them about Shabbos and tell them about Mishkan. Wonders Rav Druk. V'yesh l'ayin. Ma miyucha dafka b'mitzvos elu shetzichon liyamer dafka lefnei kol Yisrael b'yachad. What is unique or specific about these two mitzvos? Why not gather us all to tell us about Shatnez? Why not gather us all to tell us about Pesach? Why not gather us all to tell us about Kelayim? Why specifically the mitzvahs of Shabbos and Mishkan? Uv'yalkut, so Rav Druk quotes the Yalkut, the Medrash. Vayaka Moshe, Rabbi Seinu Balei Agada Omra, Mitchila Ve'ad Sofa, from the beginning of the Torah all the way till its end, Ein Ba'parsha Shenemar Bereisha Vayakel. There is no parsha that says Barosha in the beginning, the word Vayakel El Zos Bavad. This is the only parsha in the Torah. And by parsha, it doesn't only mean a parsha as in what we read on any given week. It means a section, a chapter, a unit. This is the only unit of Torah that is introduced with the word Vayakel. Go gather. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ase Locha Kihilos Gedolos. Go create big community. Udrosh Lefneim Barabim Hilcho Shabbos. And Darshan. Create a, gather a big community and teach. Teach the laws of Shabbos. Kedei sheyulmedu mimcha doros habayim lahakel kilos b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos. So that communities will learn for generations to come the value of community. I'm tempted to stop here and tell you how I really feel, but I won't. But here, implicit in this medrash and the message at the beginning of our parsha is the notion of hakel, of a kahal. There's a concept of a community. Not everyone making Shabbos for themselves, not every other house being a private shtibel, not everybody maintaining their COVID minion 6 years later, not everybody doing what's comfort and what's convenient. But you see from our very inception, you see when we were already in the desert, there is a value, there's a concept called a kahal, a community. There's a concept of community. Community transcends. Community is much bigger than the sum of its parts. The idea of a community gathering, of a community caring, of a community that's loyal, of a community that learns together, of a community that davens together, a community that advocates and fights together, of a community that learns together. So Hashem says, gather. There's a concept, there's a value to community. It's not only about what's comfortable and it's convenient. Sometimes you got to walk past a few of those comfortable, convenient, fast, killer kiddush, no speech, minyanim, to get to the community, because community is bigger than ourselves. We need, we lean, we rely on community. And the people who worship at the altar of convenience and comfort, it's when they need community, all of a sudden they find the phone number for community. They have a shaila. They need somebody to get a loved one to Israel or out of Israel during a war. They, God forbid, have a loss. They need a connection. Community has a value, not only in the time of distress or crisis or need. Don't wait for them, because maybe the community that you haven't been part of won't be there for you. But community has a value when you're a part of it, even when it's not comfortable and convenient, because you care about it, because you're part of it, because it means something, because you contribute, you participate, you practice, you're part of it. That's where, when the Jewish people, when Klal Yisrael are going through something, you feel connected. That's a place that is making a difference. Okay, enough of that. So that's a kahal. Enough of that. Vayakel. So this is the only part. A kahal, the idea of a kahal, of a tzibur, it's bigger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Aseh lecha kihilos gedolos. Don't make Shabbos for yourself. Make significant communities, meaningful communities, communities that connect, communities that collaborate, communities that combine, communities that complement. Udrosh lefneim, and learn this. Mikanam Ramosha Tikan Lisha Shir Dorshan Binyan Shayom. Hilchas Pesach Pesach Chag Bechag. We have the idea, for example, of a community Shabbos Hagadol Drosha. The idea of a community saying we're going to take something on together. We're going to learn. We're going to feel challenged. We're going to grow. We're going to be a community working on something together. We learn the laws of Pesach before Pesach, and the laws of Shavuos before Shavuos, and Sukkot before Shavuos. Amar Moshe L'Yisrael, Matem Osim Kiseid HaZakash Baruch Hama Aleichem, Ki'ilu Hamlachtem Osi Ba'olami. Hashem says, if you make community, if you gather, if you create a people, then I treat it like you coronated me, like you made me your king. Everybody's doing their own thing. Everybody's local. Everybody's making their own Shabbos. Everybody's doing what's convenient. Hashem says, yeah, hi, I don't know where I go. I don't know who's connected to me. I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I fit in. It's when we connect, when we create community, that he feels, I know you've come to invite me. So you see from this Yalkut, says Rav Druk, Shehilchos Shabbos Tzrichim Le'amir Davka B'Tzibur. The laws of Shabbos are meant to be transmitted and communicated to community. Generations to come will understand. Community has a place for women. Community has a youth department and a teen department. Community has outreach. Community has Israel advocacy. Community has space and room for everyone. Community has support groups and chesed. Community is critical from the very inception of the Jewish people. But specifically, again, why now? Why Shabbos? Why Mishkan? V'nira levar. Here's where Rav Druk has his insight. Why Davka when it comes to observing Shabbos and building the Mishkan? We only find the Jewish people experienced this sense of unity, this true cohesiveness, one time. When we stood at the base of Mount Sinai, nobody saw differences. Nobody saw division. Nobody saw different yarmulkes and different parties and different partisanship. Nobody saw differences. We were all united, maybe different nischos and different minyanim, maybe different attitudes and perspectives, but we were together. Every other time we encamped in the desert and beyond, we fought. We fought bitterly. We were competitive, and we blamed, and we criticized, and we condemned. Why was that? Because the prerequisite to receiving the Torah is being united, is being together. You cannot receive a Torah if the Torah is going to be weaponized. If the Torah is a weapon to criticize and condemn and knock down, then you're not worthy to receive the Torah. The prerequisite to receiving the Torah is a sense of unity, is a sense of love. That's not uniformity. Just to be clear, the prerequisite to receiving Torah at Har Sinai, Hashem did not demand uniformity. We were still 12 tribes. 12 tribes had significant differences, different emblems, different logos, different encampments, different perspectives, different approaches. Diversity is critical. We don't demand uniformity, but the prerequisite to Torah and to community is unity. And when we worship the golden calf, we lost that sense of unity. Because people broke apart. People started to blame and point fingers and distance. Where does chet come from? The sin, the mistake, the miscalculation comes because there's machlokas, there's tension, there's animosity. When a person feels separate and apart and different than the community, they're not functioning, caring, concerned, committed to community. That's where chet comes from. Why? Where's chet from? Chet comes from ego, comes from selfishness. But I want this, but I need this. But it's what I like, it's what feels good, it's what I want. I want to look at that, I want to say that, I want to eat that, I want to go there, I want to do that. Chet, mistakes, miscalculation, indiscretion, it comes because the ego has kicked in. We're choosing what feels good, feels right, what we want, rather than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And when a person is able to be committed to a sense of unity, what they're saying is, it's bigger than my ego. It's not just about me. I set aside my ego for that which is bigger. I'm willing to be, as we spoke about last Shabbos, I'm willing to be Moser Nefesh. Moser Nefesh. When Moshe Rabbeinu screamed, Mila Shem Eli, this was the Chavetz Chaim's message to Rav Schwab, Mila Shem Eli, says the Netziv, is not just, you know, who's a good boy, who's a good girl, who didn't participate in the Egel. It's Mila Shem. Who chooses Elokus over ego? Who's ready and willing to be Moser Nefesh? Moser Nefesh. Our holy soldiers on the front lines, they're Moser Nefesh. Moser Nefesh. You know, it just occurred to me in my davening yesterday, and I started davening for them. We can think about, we can picture, many of us know, many of us are related to, soldiers who are serving in the IDF, in Israel's Air Force, and they're heroes. And they deserve to be celebrated, and we're in awe and admiration and love and endless appreciation. But how many people are risking and serving, and Moser Nefesh in the highest order, we have no idea about. How many are in Iran right now, have been for the last 20 years and beyond, undercover, leaving their families, even having no idea where they are? There's a friend of mine through our community, through someone here, who was in the Mossad and shares what he's allowed to of extraordinary rescue operations, and just told me a story 2 days ago. He had to go to a certain place to find a certain person. So why do you have to find him? Did you have to kill him? He says, I didn't kill him, I found him. Where was he? Couldn't tell you where it was, when it was, you know, what personality I take out, what language, what dialect, what profile. Think about the Mesiris Nefesh. A person does that, no glory. There's no glory, there's no fame, there's no spotlight. No one will ever, ever, ever know. Why do you do that? Because you're Moser Nefesh for your people. To protect your people, someone's got to do it, and those are the ones who are willing and ready. And we should all daven every day for them, because they are extraordinary. Extraordinary. People like Eli Cohn, whose body's not even been recovered yet, but left his family, who didn't even know where he was and what he did. Mesiris Nefesh, Moser Nefesh. So chet, when do we make mistakes? It's because we allowed our ego to kick in. But I want, but I need, but I like, but it's good for me, but it feels good. And that comes from pirud. Because when a person feels a sense of unity, the very definition of unity means I'm putting us over me. Unity could be in marriage. I'm putting this marriage, this relationship, you, us, we, over me. And unity can be community. I'm putting community over me, but it's not comfortable to walk past all those places. Okay, but community is bigger than me. I'm putting Klal Yisrael over me. I'm willing to be moser nefesh, mesiras nefesh for klal Yisrael. So when a person, chet comes from pirud, chet comes from ego over elokus, unity comes from elokus over ego. This will be a chapter in the book, Ego and Elokus. Yeshnam shnei mitzvos ha-mesugalos ligram la'achtos. So there are two mitzvos that we have, says Rav Druk, that lead, they cultivate a sense of unity. And they are the Mishkan and Shabbos. Biyar dvar, nidvas ha-mishkan ma'asinu shakal Yisrael shutim bo. When it came to the Mishkan, we were all partners. We all contributed. It belonged and it was all of ours. Ki kulam heviyu nedava la-mishkan. Everybody donated. Everybody collaborated. Everybody partnered. They were all stakeholders and investors. When everyone contributes, it united everyone. Because anyone who contributed felt this is our shared home. This is our place. This is where we all belong. It's what in our mikdash mat we're trying to create. Which direction am I pointing? To our expansion, to the new building, to what's going up. We made a commitment and we followed through that we're not instituting a building fund, but we are looking for 100% participation. Why? For us, true, but more for you. Because Nebuch, what's a person going to feel like when they come and daven and enjoy minyanim, shiurim, learning, chesed, programs, panels, concert, all around the clock? Someone's going to make their simcha and say, I'm just a taker. I have no part in this. I didn't give anything to it. I'm just benefiting, I'm just enjoying, but I didn't even participate. Nebuch, such a person, I feel bad for how a person's gonna feel. But for all those who do give, that place is ma'achid. It unites everyone who has a part and says, this is us, this is community, this is our family, this is our people, this is a place that we all belong. So the Mishkan was that place because everyone gave. We see that with the Kruvim, the image on top of the Aron that our parsha describes. They looked at each other, they were united, they were integrated, they collaborated, they partnered. So Mishkan unites people. The second mitzvah that unites people is Shabbos. Shabbos is Simon Achdus Yisrael. Hari osim eruvei chatzeros v'shitufei mavuos. Why are you allowed to carry? We only carry because what do we have in our community? A Erev. Now, I don't want to flex or show off, but it's possible we have the best Erev. Among the best Erev in the world, certainly in the country. Our greater Erev is fantastic, but specifically also because we have a broader Erev that certainly we are significantly part of, and is 100% muhudr. It's a fantastic Erev. But Montoya Circle has 3.5 canals around it. Because Tel HaMaslakeit, the angle of the canal wall counts as a wall, we have 3.5 real walls around Montoya Circle. So even some great rabbis who generally don't rely on Erevin will carry here, because this is 3.5 legit, not imaginary, full walls with a Tzuras HaPesach. So an Erev, how does an Erev work? Why are you allowed to carry with an Erev? If you're only allowed to carry in a private domain, how does the Erev work? That's exactly how it works. What the Erev says is, by drawing a boundary and then sharing, Rabbi Rabovsky and I just did the Erev Echatzeros last Erev Shabbos, two Erev Shabboses ago, because we make it over matzah. For those who have a minig not to eat matzah a month before Pesach, we always do it before we bench Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and then we put out last year's Erev Chatzeros Matzah at Shalashiris and all the shuls. Why do we do that? Because that matzah is owned by all the Jews who live in the Erev. And Erev Chatzeros means we lift those matzahs and acquire it on all behalf of all the Jews who live in the Erev and who are destined, thanks to Mamdani and snowstorms, to move into that Erev in the coming year. So we lift the matzah on behalf of all those who live in the Erev. Why does co-owning matzah enable an Erev? Because what it says is, it's not just my backyard, which is my rishus. We drew a boundary. We have a string. We have walls. We have a boundary around this entire area. We break bread. We own matzah together. And therefore, we are all united. Everyone in this Erev, we are united. We are together. Shabbos, which is all about an Erev, Erev Tchumen, Erev Chatzeros, Erev Mavuos, it's all about unity and connection and bringing us together. That's what Shabbos is all about. That's when we gather to learn. That's when we connect. That's the holy Shalosh Shudas. Ivid Ivid. Me'ata Yesh Lomar. Shekim Shematzina B'Shtei Mitzvos Halalu Shebnyanam Yikar Ma'achtos Klal Yisrael. Since the Mishkan united us, and Shabbos unites us. Shabbos, 8 Minyanim, but one campus. Shabbos, we set aside differences and we come together. Let's daven together, learn together, have Kiddush together, enjoy meals together, play together, laugh together, learn together. Shabbos fosters a sense of unity. Mishkan created a sense of unity. And that, says Rav Druk, is why these two mitzvos are unique. The only parsha that begins, Vayakel. And I could speak for hours just on that word, Vayakel, as I started to do. But that's Hashem saying, Kahal, Kihila, be a Kihila, be a community. It's a lost art in Klal Yisrael. There are so few communities left. There are shuls, there are minion factories, there are shtibles. There's a lot going on, and it's great. It's beautiful. We're davening more than ever. We're learning more than ever. There's a lot of wonderful things about it. But even within those, we must focus on creating community, a kihila. A kihila. What does it mean to be a kihila? It's not for the parsha class, but what does it mean to be a kihila? How is a kihila different than a minion factory? How is a kihila different than a dafyomi factory? How is a kihila different than a killer kiddush factory? What is kihila that's bigger and different and transcends and that's worth it and that's important and that we should be willing to be moser nefesh for? That's the opening word, vayakel. Hashem says, kihila. Make and be part of a kihila. It matters. It means something. It's important. It's important. Perek Lamed Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Turn the page. This kihila. Now we have the contributions, the solicitation, the construction of the Mishkan. Vayavo kol ish. Perek Lamed Hei. Pasuk Chav Af. Vayavo kol ish asher nesa olibo. V'chol asher nadvarucho. Oso hevi ashtrim asa shem l'mlachas o moed. L'chol v'dasul v'gdei kodesh. Every person who, what are the criteria? Heart inspired and spirit motivated, which of course begs the question, what is the difference between what? Nisa'o libo and nadva rucho. Everyone who's heart motivated and every man who's heart inspired and spirit motivated. What's the difference between heart inspired and spirit motivated? For our campus, I don't care if you have neither of those things, as long as the check clears. Just in case you're curious. But here for the Mishkan, you had to be both Nisa'a Libo and Nadva Rucho. You have to have an inspired heart and a motivated soul. What's the difference? I saw Rav Shmuel Berenbaum ask that question, but we're not going to get into it today. I want to focus on a different word, the word Oso. That word Oso in this pasuk is extra. Every man whose heart inspired him came, and everyone whose spirit motivated him brought the portion. Oso. That word oso, the pasuk would read and be understood exactly the same without that word. So whenever you have a word that if it weren't here, everything would mean the same, you have to wonder, why is it here? What does the word oso add? This is not my question. It is the question of the Heilige Megid Yosef of Yosef Sirotskin. L'chora tevas osom yoseras. K'mochein kefal alashon kol asher nesol libo v'chol asher nidva rucho. What's the difference between the two? But also, why is the word kol need to be repeated, and why have the word oso at all? Ubir, he quotes his father. Shemorna shemidarche anedavim lomar harbe v'lasos mat. He says most campaigns, we were warned about ours. Most campaigns have different people will warn you different numbers. There is a percentage of the people who pledge who don't pay. So even if you raised, which we haven't yet, 100% of the budget, no, 5%, 20%, we heard from experts, anywhere between 5% and 20% of people who pledged aren't going to pay. Harbe, lomar harbe velasos ma'at. Many of the donors, the pledgers, say a lot and do little. B'shasha ma'isa mizarzor ledvar mitzvah ma'atiach dolos. So when you have the big cause matching campaign, charity matching campaign, everybody's matching and meeting and speaking and names are going up and everyone's like, count me in and I'm in and I'm my pledge and I'm good to go. Aval kavur zman kishem yegeis l'shalshel esamos mikiso. When it's time to pay up the pledge, when Talia emails you from Israel and says, thank you so much, it means the world, we're so grateful. How is the best way we can collect? What is the best way you'd like to pay? Over how long? How? Then all of a sudden, silence, disappearance. Az yikmat yodov yistapik b'muat. All of a sudden, people close their fist. Kan mi'ida ha-Torah shakol asher nidva rucho. Oso heviu. The Mishkan was exception. Bidiyuk v'lehipilu mu'uma. You know what their rate was? Donor pledge to collection, 100%. Says Rav Sirotskin, that's the pshat. Kol asher nasol libo, v'chol asher nidvarucho, oso Heviu. Everything everyone pledged, it was all paid up. It all came in. It all came through. It all came through. It all came through. B'diuk. Kach nag kolisha ish bal ya'adir mikim ha'nedir b'shal. Everyone fulfilled their pledge. Everybody honored their pledge. That's uniqueness number one about this campaign. Uniqueness number one, everybody came through. Everybody paid up. We're going to get to uniqueness number two momentarily. Momentarily. But first, Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Chaf Dalad. Lamed Hei Chaf Dalad. Kol mirim shumas kesef nechoshes evio shumas Hashem. Pasuk says, all who separated a portion of silver or copper brought it as a portion for Hashem. Everyone who separated the wood brought it. I saw a beautiful explanation. The Amaros Torahs, the Hilig Arach Mishrivka, quotes a beautiful from the Orech Lechaim, not the Or HaChaim, Orech Lechaim. On these words, Kol Meirim Trumas Kesef Unechoshes. Let's translate again. What is the word Kol Meirim? What is the word Meirim? Leharim means to lift up. Interesting, Art Scroll translates it differently. Look at the Art Scroll. All who separate. It's an open book test, people. Pasuk Chaf Dalan, verse 24. All who separated. All who separated. Am I reading the right Pasuk? Yeah, Pasuk Chaf Dalan. All came, Kol Meirim. All who separated. Says the Rachmas Rivka, Haremez Beze Asher Kol Echem Yisrael Sheyesh Bo Eze Maila, Tzorach Laha'alos Hamala, El Hashem Yisbarach. Whatever gift, talent, skill, blessing, resource you have, the reason we were given it is to lift it in the service of Hashem. Aydei sheyishtamish ba lechvod Hashem Yisbarach. That's why the Torah uses the word kol meirim trumas kesef unechoshes. It doesn't say anyone who donated, anyone who dedicated, anyone who sponsors. It says anyone who lifted. Who lifted? What do you mean lifted? You have to lift it? What are you, like a chassan making a Kabbalah's Kenyan, selling chametz, Kabbalah's Kenyan? What do you mean lift it? Just give it. Again, you could wire it, Venmo, Zelle, carrier pigeon, whatever you want, cash, brown paper bag, however you want, we'll take it. We'll take it. The Pasuk says that's not how you give it. The way to give it is kol meirim. You have to lift it. And says the Rach Meshrifka, the image of lifting is whatever gift, talent, blessing, skill, resource you have, elevate it. Lift it. Lift it in the service of Hashem. Acha Amar Rabbeinu, our rabbi, say the Medrash Tanchuma, Kavedas Hashem Mehonach, Al Tikra Mehoncha Ela Migroncha. Al Tikra Kavedas Hashem Mehoncha, serve Hashem from what you have. Read it Migroncha. Imadum Yedela Shor, if you know how to sing, Yeshlo Lishtamish B'mayla Zul Hashem. There are people with magnificent voices, and they know how to sing beautifully. And you go and you ask them to lead the davening. No, not me. I'm not interested. I don't like. I'm not that good. You're mechutz if Hashem gave you this talent, this blessing, this skill. Who are you to deny it to the community, to the kehila? You have a skill. You have a talent. You're artistic. You can be a leader. You have charisma. You're an orator. Whatever you can do, kamochein, whatever you can do. Somebody is humble and modest. The humility and the modesty have to be directed and channeled in the service of Hashem. Don't use the humility and modesty, hide in the corner. Not me, I don't need. No, the humility and modesty themselves need to be used and channeled and directed in the service of Hashem. Whatever you lift, trumas Hashem. Lift your skills, talents, blessings, resources, lift whatever you are given, and let it be a truma, let it be a gift to Hashem. Trumas kesef, linya hishtokikos v'kisufin. Trumas kesef. The word kesef means silver. But my favorite song, one of my icebreakers I like to play is to ask people, if you could only listen to one song for the rest of your life, what would the song be? It's an interesting thing to learn about people. If you can only listen to one song the rest of your life, what would this song be? So thank you for asking. My song would be Ka Echsof. Oh, holy Ka Echsof. Carliner, Ka Echsof, Ka Echsof. Echsof, what is the word Echsof? Kisufin, what does that word mean? Silver? No, Kisufin means yearnings. Yearnings. Ka Echsof, my yearnings for you, Hashem, yearnings. So all my yearnings, everything I want to direct, what I have, my talents, my skills, my blessings, is Trumas Hashem. It is a gift to you. Mikol Meirim, to be lifted to and towards you. It's all to you. It's all to you. And this is hinted to in Kesef, Nechoshes, Atzei Shishim. He goes on and describes and plays this out. Thought it was a beautiful insight on those words. Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Turn the page, next Perek. Lamed Vav Aleph. V'yasa b'tzala ve'aliyah v'chol ish chacham leiv, asher natsan Hashem chacham v'tvina b'hema, l'das l'asa v'skom lech z'avidus ha'kodosh, v'chol asher tziv Hashem. B'tzala should carry out with his second in command, Aliyav, every wise-hearted man within whom Hashem endowed wisdom, insight to know what to do, all the work for the labor of the shul, of the mikdash, everything that Hashem has commanded. This is in the Lavosish. Back to the Lavosish. Says Rav Druk, second Rav Druk of the day. The Medrash Rabbah writes, Kol mishen es asik m'lachas ha-mishkan, nasam b'kadosh baruch hu chochma b'nei udas. Anyone who was tasked, anyone who was charged, anyone who was involved with the building of the Mishkan, Hashem endowed them, gifted and granted them, Chabad, Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma, Bina, and Das. If anyone has connections, I'm trying to get Tucker to blame BRS for everything, because we can raise some good money that way. Chabad, they raised a lot of money. People walked into the local Chabad and dropped off a check after he blamed them for everything wrong in the world. So Chachma, Bina, we're all Chabad. Baruch Hashem, we all stand with Chabad. And if Chabad's biggest problem is they're trying to build the third temple, God bless. He nailed it. He's 100% correct, at least on that one. Chachma, Bina, and Das. So Chachma, Bina, and Das, of course, the Alter Rebbe, Tanya, we're learning on Wednesday mornings. Chachma, Bina, and Das. So where did the Alter Rebbe get that from? Chachma, Bina, and Das as a motto, a statement, a philosophy. It's from our parsha, from these parshios. Anyone involved in the building of the Mishkan was in Dawah Chachman Bin Andas. Vayasiko Chacham Leiv, Velo Bivnei Adam, El Afilo Bebehema V'chaya. Because the Pasikir says, Chachma Utvuna Ba Hema. You hear the play of words? The word Bahema, what does it mean here? It's spelled Bahema means in them. But don't read it Bahema in them, says the Medrash. Read it, punctuate it differently. Read it not Bahema in them, but Behema, an animal. Shenit nechachma ba'adam uve behema. That in the building of the Mishkan, Hashem didn't only endow the human being with chachma, bina, and das. You have to differentiate what they are. For that, you got to learn Tanya with me or with anyone. What is the difference? Are they three synonyms for knowledge, for intellect? We don't have synonyms. There are subtle differences. What's the difference between chachma, bina, and das? Not for now, but there are differences. Whatever those differences are, not only were human beings endowed with that, but says the Medrash, Bahema, Behema. Even animals were. Chazal Darshan, Behema, Afla Behemos, Nitna Das, Tumina Lavodos HaMishkan. Even the animals who schlepped the materials, even the animals whose hide we used for the materials, even the animal were endowed with Chachma, Bina, and Das. One does Rav Druk, why do I need animals to have Chachma, Bina, and Das? I understand the artists and the artisans. I understand the architects and the construction. I understand why we want them to have a spirituality, a holiness. We hired a design firm for our campus expansion. We have the architect. It's being built, as you can see. We hired a Heimische design firm. And one of the things that attracted us to them was in choosing the decor, it wasn't just what's in, what's fashionable, what's stylish. There's a neshama to it. Maimar Chazal, what are the symbols? What is the significance? What's the Torah of this color? What's the Torah of that symbol? What's the Torah of that furnishings? What's the Torah of lay out the room in that way? There's an neshama. Lahavdil. In other cultures, they call it feng shui, the energy of the room. We don't have feng shui, but there's an neshama to a room. There's an neshama, there's an energy. So I understand that Bezalel and Aliyav had to be endowed with Chachma, Bina, and Das. Hashem had to endow them with this divine wisdom and understanding and insight to bring that special skill to design. But the animals? What do I need the animals to have it? So listen to what Rav Druk says. Efshe Levar is Divrei HaMedrash. Shei Chalukah Chachmas HaTorah Miyaser Chachmas Ba'olam. The wisdom of Torah is different than every other wisdom and discipline in the world. Shei B'chol HaChachmas Adam Yachal Yaz Baki Behem Acha Chachma Lo Teshanas Muso. Adam Nishar Mushchas. Every other discipline of wisdom, you can be an expert in it and remain entirely unchanged by it. You can be an expert in it and entirely unchanged by it. Several years ago, I remember a story of a scandal. There was a professor think it was Harvard, but it might have been another one of the Ivy Leagues. He was a senior professor of ethics who was discovered was living the most unethical, inappropriate lifestyle. In other disciplines, a person can be the world expert, and it doesn't impact or transform the person, their character. That Bilam HaRasha, the wicked Bilam, was described as knowing God. He was mushchas and matu of bios and midas gruos, but nevertheless he lived the lowest level. Ayin ra, ruach gavoa, nefesh achava. He had an inappropriate relationship with his donkey. Torah, on the other hand, a person who really learns Torah, person who taps into the depths of Torah, authentic Torah, Torah transforms. That's how you know. Is it Torah? Is the person learning Torah as the word of Hashem, or was the person learning Torah as just another discipline? How do you know? Because did it change them? Is the person different as a result? Says Rav Druk, that's the pshat. Don't read it ba'hema in them, read it behema, that even the animal was endowed with chachma, bina, and das. Vas epis, that an animal would have chachma, bina, and das. Says Rav Druk, shachachma satora mishana afes achelaka bahami sheba'adam. Torah changes the animal instinct in us. It's not that Hashem gave chachma, bina, and das to animals, the cow and the dog and the cat and the hamster. It's that Hashem gave chachma, bina, and das to the animal instinct, to the animal impulse, to the animal in us. This too is Tanya, that every person is made up of two parts. There's the animal impulse, the animal instinct, the animal identity, that which we have in common with animals. And then we have our godly soul, the chelek alakam imo'am mamish, the godly soul, the godly spirit, godly part of who we are. So Torah doesn't only talk to the godly part of who we are. Part of the philosophy of Tanya, we've just been learning about klipas noga and the intent that we give it, we transform it. How you could take that which is neutral, eating, sleeping, and when we endow it with meaning and purpose, we elevate it and we transform it. So the animal act of eating can be either an animal indulgence, or you can train and elevate the animal. We've discussed in Tanya, this is very different. Tanya is very different than, say, the Ramchal. Others believe that our mission, our job, is to slaughter the animal in us. There's an animal. We want to eat like a pig and keep our room like a pigsty and act like an animal. The animal in us, that's impulse, that's compulsive behavior. The animal in us, we're going to talk about it, Shabbos HaGadol. Freeing ourselves from modern addictions, our topic for Shabbos HaGadol, our own Yetzias Mitzrayim, because there are challenges. Not only gambling and alcohol and watching the wrong images, but technology is a huge addiction that we may not admit it or be in help for it, but most of us need work from. So there's the animal in us. So the Ramchal and others say our job, our goal, we're trying to slaughter the animal. We want to be the godly soul, the godly spirit, no animal. Came along the Baal HaTanya and he said, what are you doing? The animal serves you, but you've got to train the animal. The animal has to be on a leash. The animal you need to plow. The animal you need to schlep. The animal serves us. Don't get rid of it. Don't shecht it. Don't purge it. Train it and elevate it. And that, says Rav Druk, maybe, he doesn't invoke the Tanya, but maybe that's the idea. Chochma, bina, and das was bahema, behema, even in the animal, doesn't mean the animal like in the zoo. It means the animal in us. The Torah has the ability to train, to transform even the animal in us. Okay, Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Ches. Wow, we're skipping. How did I just skip? Sorry, Lamed Vav Zayin. Lamed Vav Zayin, before we go to that. I told you there was one unusual feature of the Mishkan so far. Number feature number one of the Mishkan was, of this campus campaign, number one was that what? 100% pledges were paid. That was Meged Yosef of Sarefkin's first. Oso, kol yishashenet v'salibo, kol yishashenet v'arucho, oso, every person who pledged, every person who promised, every vow was fulfilled and was paid. And now we have another. Says Rav Druk. Dayam. Is this not Rav Druk? Sorry. Oh, Dayam. That everything was paid. Vayitzav Moshe. Vayaviru ko b'machane le'mor ish v'ish asher yasu od malach l'tshumas hakodesh. Here is the second unique about the Mishkan. Moshe commands everybody. Look at what he says. Again, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Zayin. Moshe commands. His voice went out in the camp. Ish v'isha. Stop the campaign. No more donations. Why? hoser. Because, very unusual, the work had been enough, there was extra. They finished the campaign, not only did they collect enough, there was extra. There was extra. Why would Moshe specifically announce, no more donations, we're not accepting, we shut down the website, close the bank account, no more donations? And would it be so bad to have an endowment? My finance committee would say, would it be so bad to have an endowment? Would it kill you? For the shul to have a little extra? A little surplus? A little rainy day fund? A little endowment? The Rebbe, by the way, didn't hold of endowments. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal was against endowments. He felt if Klal Yisrael has money, there are important things to spend it on now. Don't put it away for an endowment. Interesting. But why not put away for a rainy day? Maybe there's going to be a leaky roof from the Mishkan. Maybe the Mishkan air conditioning is going to be on the fritz. Maybe the kelim are going to get worn out. Why can't we have a little extra? What's the downside of accepting a little bit more? Why this unprecedented and unreplicated shutting down, no more donations? So the Meshech Chochma gives a technical answer. Meshech Chochma says halachically, it would create a conundrum. Why? Because whatever was donated would have a sacred status, but the surplus wasn't necessary. So what do you do with the funds or the, in this case, the commodities that were donated that are going to have a sacred status, but you can't use them? It's a whole halachic problem. That's the Meshech Chochma's approach. Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks, you know, I'm fond of quoting the Menachem Tzion. He has another answer. And he says the following. I thought this was a fantastic insight. We usually think of a donation as easing the burden on others. If you give a donation, you provided relief. Donate to Tomchei Shabbos, you gave relief. Mo'os Chitim, as always, a lot of people need a lot of help for Pesach. The more that you give, the more relief you're going to give others. And in those cases, there's no end to the donation because there's always people who are going to need more relief. But in the case of the Mishkan, the surplus didn't ease the burden. The surplus added to it. How's that? Why would a surplus add to the burden instead of easing it? Listen to this insight of the Menachem Tzion. Who was responsible for schlepping all the materials? Who was responsible for going place to place and carrying the Mishkan, its kelim, assembling, disassembling, transporting the utensils, the goods, the commodities? The Levim. If you allowed people to donate even 1 ounce more than what was necessary, you just increased the burden of the Levim to schlep it, to carry it, says Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks. Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned with showing loyalty and sensitivity to the Levim. Don't give more than what's necessary because you have added to their burden instead of easing it. Now they have more to schlep and we don't do that. That's answer number two. That is what Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks says. Malbim. Malbim comes from a different angle. Rashi tells us numerous times the Mishkan was an atonement for Chet Egel. If infidelity towards Hashem alienated us from Him, then building Him a home and feeling we were in His presence brought us closer. Now, the greatest repair to the damage from enthusiastic donations to the Egel was even greater, more enthusiastic donations to the Mishkan. What was the root of the mistake of the Chet Egel? We spoke about this previously, says the Malbim. The problem was that we volunteered a ritual and a practice that was not commanded of us. The Chet Egel didn't come from above. Hashem didn't dictate it. We decided it on our own. And we're not entitled. We're not allowed. So, says the Malbim, giving beyond what God asked once again puts us ahead of Him. Why are you giving more? Hashem says this is all you need to give. That capacity to have a boundary, the capacity to stop, that capacity to say no, the capacity to listen to His rules, even when they don't make sense to us, is the antidote and the atonement for the Chet Egel. Azay Zak the Malbim. So we saw the Meshech Chochma says, halachic conundrum, halachic technicality, that surplus would have a sacred status, you wouldn't know what to do with it, don't give more. Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks said, normally when you give, you ease a burden. In this case, giving adds to the Levium's burden. So stop giving when we have what we need. Says the Malbim, why was it important to stop? Because the Chet Egel was doing it our way, not Hashem's way. So Hashem says, I'm going to tell you to stop even when it makes sense to you to keep going. And that you now, if you want to atone for your mistake, repair for the mistake, it'll be by showing that you're ready to do it my way even when it doesn't make sense to you. But I want to give a fourth answer. And this, Brother Ben, is maybe an original thought. This is a fourth answer. This is my original suggestion. Pasuk says, "Va'malacha ha'isa dayam." The work was dayam. The word dayam, I might have told you this before. The word dayam comes from the word die. What is the word die? Enough. Enough. When Hashem created the world, the Medrash says the elements competed with one another for domination. The elements in Hashem's world competed. Who's in charge? Who's in control? Who is supreme? Who is supreme? Fire first wanted to rule. Water wanted to flood the earth. Dry land wanted to shrink the borders of the ocean. Each one wanted to live without limits. Each one wanted to dominate. Each one wanted to not be told what to do. So Hashem turned to all of his creation. And what did he declare? Die. And in fact, this is one of God's names. Just like Hashem's other names we don't pronounce, we say Shakai because we don't want to pronounce it. But for the purposes of learning, Shaddai is one of God's holy names on the outside of your mezuzah. Shaddai. Where does it come from? Sha'amar la'olam dai. God's name is Shin Dalad Yud because he said to the world, Genuk, enough, boundaries, stop sign, enough, enough. In many ways, the Mishkan, we're taught, is a microcosm of the world. The creation of the Mishkan parallels the creation of the universe. How we define how we keep Shabbos, which commemorates creation, by what was creative labor that went into the building of the Mishkan. So maybe the message of Moshe is that even when it comes to the building of this holy dwelling place for Hashem called the Mishkan, there's a time that we have to learn to say, die, that we have enough. There's a value in recognizing that we have enough and even in realizing we've contributed enough. V'malacha haisa dayam. This project was finished. The goal is complete. Moshe is telling them, be proud, be comfortable. Move on to the next phase and the next job. That a person has to have the capacity to say, I'm satisfied. I could be proud. I could lean in. This is complete. What's my next challenge? What's my next mission? Yes. But when it came to this one, die. Hashem maybe is, again, conditioning the critical importance of that. Chazal and Kol Es Rabba highlight, there's a basic human quality. Mishiyesh lamana rotza masayim. If a person has 100, we want 200. We're never enough. We're always hungry. Insatiable appetite, drive, ambition. Now, those are good qualities. Ambition, aspiration, determination, they're good when they push us towards greatness. But sometimes they come at a cost. And what's the cost? The insatiable appetite, a voracious need for more, for the latest, for the newest, for the best. It robs us, it denies us of serenity and of happiness. And it distances us sometimes from what matters most. When do we really set ourselves free? When we have the ability to say, die, I have enough. These were slave nation. This group who left Egypt were slaves, they had nothing. And now they needed to learn how to say, die, enough, genuk, genuk. Now this is a very familiar word to you because not too long from now, we're going to be singing it. It's a very popular song. Die, dayenu. Why do we sing Dai? We don't just sing Dayenu. We sing Dai, Dai, Dayenu. Dai. Because Dayenu is, it would be enough. None of those things would have been enough. It would have been enough each of them to say thank you to Hashem. Dayenu, Dai, would have been enough to say thank you to Hashem. So living with limits and finding happiness within what we have and maintaining that capacity to say Dayenu, it's enough, is liberating, it's empowering, it's enriching. It's Hashem. Sha'amar la'olam odai, who told his world, die. We sing dayenu, that's freedom, the ability to say die. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching. Even this incredibly noble project, even this mission of building this Mishkan, hamlacha haisa dayam, die. We have the ability, even with this, to say, die. For now, die. And that is a very, very important and very lofty idea. Okay, let's move over to Parshas Pekudei, which we didn't even start. Lamin Ches Chavalef. I can't believe we didn't start. Ele Pekudei HaMishkan. These are the accounting of the Mishkan. Oh, we've spoken so much in the past. The accounting, what went right, what went wrong, and so on. The last parsha of the book of Shmos. With this, we end. Chazak. Just when Klal Yisrael need a Shabbos Chazak, we get a Shabbos Chazak. And Mirtz Hashem, by the Shabbos, when we all scream Chazak, Chazak, Menis Chazek, it should be because the war is over. We won safety and security. And lots of flights for people to go wherever they need to. Chazak, chazak. So it begins with a summary of the critical components of the Mishkan and includes an accounting of the donations and it lists the materials. But first, beforehand, the Torah tells us, more importantly, the people who made it happen. And we just saw it in Vayakhel. Torah over and over again acknowledges the craftsmen, the artisans, the builders, the architects, and it credits most Bezalel, Ben Uri Ben Hur, this young man, and his second in command, Aliyav. And each time they're called Chochmei Lev. Chochmei Lev. By focusing not only on the plans and the measurements and the dimensions and the materials and the mechanics, but also on the people, on their character, on their sincerity, on their authenticity, the Torah is communicating a critical message. It's not only important what we do, but who we are and what we bring to what we do. Right? Because the Torah doesn't just talk about build this, here are the measurements, here are the dimensions, here are the materials. The Torah talks about the intent and the kavana of the people who do it. What is our consciousness? What's our motivation? What is the mindfulness? Every action, every experience, all that we do is made up of the physical component, but there's a pneumius. What is the kavana? What is the depth? What's in our heart? What are we bringing of ourselves to it? Not just the act, but what else are we adding to it? So therefore, the Sforno describes, listen to the Sforno, the gold and silver that fashioned the Kelim of the Mishkan was all different, categorically different, than any other gold and silver in the universe. It was imbued with and transformed by the intent of the people who gave it. Listen to this for now. Kol echad mechalkei ha-mishkan ha-ksuvim lamala, him osam ha-pekudim shenemar aleim, uv'sheimos tifkidu eskli ha-mishmeres, mishim biyadi tamar, masam biyadi tamar. V'zeh ki kol echad mehem ha-yeroi lios nechshav likar b'sheim ba'asher hu zeh ha-prati. Lo bilvad ba'asher hu mizeh ha-min, v'koshakein, she-tzedek zeh ha-kol echad miklein ha-mikta, ha-kodesh, asher b'masa b'nei kas. You didn't only refer to it by name of the category it belonged to. You didn't just call it fork, but you had a name for each fork. This fork is Reuven, this fork is Shimon. You named every utensil, every item, individually. That which is done with pure intent, with holy purpose and mission, with mindfulness and meaning, has nitzchios to it. When we just do things generically, then they wear out, then they disappear. But when we imbue something with intent, and purpose, and pnimius, then it achieves nitzchius. Then it's something which is enduring, and then it's something which lasts. The Mishkan is built from the donations of these recently poor slaves. And they got this wealth in the desert and at the sea. It was assembled not from those materials and goods, but from the modest jewelry and the used clothing and the sheets that the generation could scramble together. And the Sforno says that the Beis HaMikdash, which was built, look at the contrast. The Beis HaMikdash was built by hired laborers from Tzor. We outsourced the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And they had no connection to what they were building. They were just a construction crew. So that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all of it. The inferiority of the building is evident from the fact that the building itself, Chazal tell us, regularly needed renovation and repair. Second Beis HaMikdash was built by Koresh. He hired pagans, and it too was destroyed and lost. The Mishkan was built by people who had Chochmas Lev. Every donation came from their heart, their intent, their consciousness, their kavana. And therefore it's Nitzchi. It was forever. The Kelim of the Mishkan never fell into enemy hands. They were never destroyed. Sforno says the original Kelim are going to resurface. With Tchias HaMesim, not only when Mashiach comes, we'll have a Beis HaMikdash, and the Kelim in it will be from the original Mishkan. Because the things that are built with Chochmas Lev, when it comes from the heart, with that kavana, with that intent, with that pnimius, then it's forever. Sforno learns this from the words Atzei Shitim Omdim. The word Omdim is taken to mean they will endure indefinitely. Atzei Shitim Omdim. What's done with Chochmas Lev is nitzchius, is forever, is forever. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. The enduring legacy, the future, the destiny of the Jewish people, it is immutable. It is undeniable. It is something which is forever. It is forever, which is not this Parsha Shir, which is over any minute, and I have to decide what else we're still going to get in here. Okay. Let's go to Vayavarach Osam, Perek Lametes, Pasuk Mem Gimel. When Moshe finishes, then we review now the first half of Pekudei, is reviewing all the big day kahuna. And then it brings us to completion, the summation, the end of Sefer Shmos is everything about the Mishkan and Moshe Rabbeinu's supervision of it. Perek Lamites, Pasuk Mem Gimel, top of it, 536. Vayarkup Moshe Eskol Amlacha Vinei Asu Oso, Kasher Tziva Hashem Ken Asu, Vayivarach Osam Moshe. Moshe, who by the way was not involved, Moshe lifted, he erected the Mishkan, but he was not involved in the collection of the Mishkan and the building of the Mishkan. So Pasuk says, Moshe saw the whole work, and behold, they had done. They did exactly like Hashem commanded. Vayivarach Osam Moshe, and Moshe now gives a bracha. Moshe gives a bracha. Moshe gives a bracha. What's the bracha that Moshe gives? Rashi tells us, what's this bracha? Amar lahem, yehi ratzon shetishra shchina b'masa yedechem. May it be Hashem's will, yehi ratzon shetishra shchina, that the divine will dwell on the creation of your hands. V'yinom Hashem elokeinu aleinu. This is one of the kapitulach of Tehillim that Moshe Rabbein, tefillah l'Moshe, we have kapitulach, tefillah l'Moshe, that Moshe wrote. This is one of the paragraphs of Tehillim that Moshe himself wrote, because you see the reference here to v'yinom Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. Yehi Ratzon. Yehi Ratzon. Says the Rachma Shrifka. Mevar Shema Sha'amar Moshe Shetishra Shechina B'masa Yedeichem Eina Kavana Al-Maisa HaMishkan Bilvad. This bracha that Moshe was given. Moshe says, okay, it's the opening of the Mishkan. We're done. We're finished. We've built it. We raised all the money. We got all the materials. We put it together. We've built it. It's the day to give it a bracha. Got to give it a bracha. Moshe Rabbeinu. Yehi Ratzon. What is he giving the bracha to? Just the Mishkan? Ena kavan al maisa Mishkan bavad. Ela afgam ashar masa yedehem. Iske masu matan. Bekulum tishra shchina. Ki aidei sheifrishim amonam nedav al shem izbarach. Zorach melachas ha-mishkan. Nimshach miza kedusha gam ashar masa yedehem. She tishra aleihem ha-shchina. Says Moshe, not only should the shchina yehi ratzon, not only should the Mishkan be blessed, but all the rest of your endeavors and your efforts, all the rest of your material possessions should be blessed. Because you separated and you donated and you gave properly, you revealed that you get it, why you have these things. By allocating and dedicating, by giving from what you have, you essentially elevated even what you're still holding on to. And therefore the blessing is chap, the blessing is relevant not only to the Mishkan, but the blessing is relevant to everything. Just like Trumas and Maestros. When you separate and tithe a portion of the produce, that's what permits the personal use of the produce. So when a person gives tzedakah, when you donate, when you allocate, when you give, you've now rendered permissible everything that you still hold on to. And it's equally holy. Part of what you have is meant to be used in holy work for others, and part of what you have is for you to elevate in your own life. And so the bracha of Moshe applies not only to the Mishkan, but also to everything else that they had. As I says, the Rachma Shrifka. We have time for one last one, even though there are so many more. So I'll tell you, B'chol Masa'ehem, very end, Perek Mem Pasuk Lamed Ches, the very end of Sefer Shmos, page 540. Last Pasuk in Sefer Shmos. Ki anan Hashem ala Mishkan yomam ve'eshti alayla bo, the cloud of Hashem would be on the tabernacle day, fire would be on it at night, before the eyes of all the house of Israel, throughout their journeys. Wonders the great Ger Rosh Hashiva, the great Rav Shaul altar. Wonders the Ger Rosh Hashiva. Pasuk says that the cloud would be on it, on the Mishkan during the days, and the fire would be on it at night, before all the eyes, in all of your travels. Rashi asks, why the Pasuk specifies that the cloud was there during all their travels? After all, the cloud over the Mishkan was also there, not only in their travels, it was also there in their encampments, in their encampments. So why does the Pasuk ask Rashi, why does it only say during their travels? So Rashi says that their entire sojourn in the wilderness is referred to as their travels, because every encampment was just a way station on their journey. So even the encampment is considered a travel. It's a beautiful Rashi. In other words, even where we are when we stop is part of our journey. It's part of our journey. You are where you're meant to be. We speak about it in the Amunah Shir every week. We are where we're meant to be. A Yid, a Jew, is never stuck. Now far be it from me, with tremendous sympathy for the people who are meant to be and trying to be elsewhere from where they are, both those trying to get back to Israel, because Israel is the only country in the world that people, it's considered a rescue flight to bring people back into the war zone. I haven't heard of anyone trying to get back into Ukraine. Only Israel is it's considered a rescue to try to get back in. But there are people there who are trying to get back, like Lee, and others who are trying to get back and unable and haven't been assigned a new flight. And we shouldn't use the word stuck, because a Jew is never stuck. A Jew is never stuck. And even if the airline, and even if it's difficult and complicated, and I don't mean to minimize, it's overwhelming and it's filled with anxiety. And there's nothing worse than living with suffix doubt, having no clue or idea when you'll be reunited with your family. Not minimizing. Complicated, very difficult, but not stuck. Because a Jew is never stuck. We are always all where we are meant to. You think Allah's in charge? You think the government's in charge? You think Taba and Egypt and Jordan, every new company, because every Jew is always trying to make a buck, who just opened a business to get you where you want to go through whatever hostile country, you think they're in charge? None of them are in charge. You have to take your initiative and effort, fill out every form, use every form of protexia you have, but in the end of the day, it's the Eibishter who's in charge. And a Yid, a Jew, is never stuck, and everyone is where they're meant to be until where they're meant to go next. So therefore, even where you are in your encampment is also part of the journey. That says Rashi. That's why, even though the cloud was over them, even the encampment, not only during the journey, we call the encampment a journey, because every encampment is also a journey. Every time we're stationary, every time we're so-called stuck, every time we're even encamping, that too is a journey. So says Rav Shaul Alter, we finish with this. If all was included, then isn't it just as reasonable to look at it the opposite way? Why the Torah decide that the encampments would be included under the umbrella travels? Why not that the travel should be included under the umbrella of encampments? Pasuk could have said, before the eyes of the entire house of Israel, in all of their encampments. Why does it say in all of their journeys? Says Rav Shaul Alter, Torah is teaching a lesson. That is, this world is not a place of encampment at all. Even the stations of our life are also just way stations in our journey to the next world. They're all included under the umbrella travel. We're moving through the outer courtyard in order to reach the palace. Like the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Olam Azadoma Latraklin, we're just trying to get through. We're just going through. The courtyard of the Mishkan refers to a Yid's job in the world to attain fear of Hashem. So we're just getting through. So that's why even our encampments are travels. We think we're encamped in this world. I have a home address. I have an email address. I have a WhatsApp address. I have all these addresses. Even our addresses are also part of our travels, because we're not at any of these addresses permanently. All these addresses are temporary. So even our encampments and addresses are called journeys, because they're all part of the greater journey called life. We barely got into Yaakov by Yaakov Pekudei. So much more to say, but we end here for now. May we hear Beseros Tovos, Yeshuos, the Nechamos. Have a great day.